Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Fans of Motion, the Ultimate Night Ranger podcast. Joining me, I mean, these guys are so good. You might actually think I have Brad Gillis and Jack Blade sitting across from me or on top of the screen, but I don't. I have Jason and Eddie from their premier Night Ranger tribute band, Sentimental Street. Jason, Eddie, thank you for joining me. How you guys doing on this nice afternoon?
Doing
Doing
great,
great.
Josh.
So, how I got to know that there was a Night Ranger tribute band was our buddy Ken Finley from the page, been on here since almost the beginning, sent me a text or sent me a message on Facebook. And immediately when I see a message from Ken, I'm like, oh, I need to hurry up and act like I didn't read that. But I'm glad I did on this one because he's like, hey, Night Ranger tribute band playing in Cincinnati. Do you want to come down? And normally, with my schedule, 90% of the time I wouldn't have been able to make it, but to that one I was. So I went down and saw a Night Ranger tribute band called Sentimental Street, and I was impressed. So, hence bringing them on the podcast. So now, Eddie, you're a little younger. Right, I mean, so when I saw them, I'm like, okay, but Jason, you're kind of like probably right around my age, so I would assume, right? Tell me about your Night Ranger experience in the 80s, how you found them and how you became a fan.
So, to be totally honest, I'm in my 50s, and I've always been into rock music, and I've played music since I was a kid. My parents played music, so it's kind of in our blood. But what I really got into was I was just about graduating from high school when Damn Yankees broke out, and so got really hot and heavy into them. Big fan of Damn Yankees. Then started tracing back the lineage of the guys in the group and whatnot, and got me more into more of the Night Rangers stuff, but pretty much on the commercial success stuff. Never got real deep personally into the Night Ranger catalog until we started this band. But of course, back in the day, I mean, I had a Camaro with T tops. I ain't gonna lie, and I was probably blasting "Don't Tell Me You Love Me" at some point in my time, I'm sure. So it was really the like I said, the Damn Yankees association that got me then a fan of Jack, and then a fan of the Night Ranger band, and just realizing how amazing all the musicians in that band were. And it kind of grew from there as far as my journey with the Night Ranger stuff. And now that I'm into the deeper cuts, being with this band, oh, it's awesome. I love it. It's like a whole new experience now for me, which I love.
Yeah, I think that's what draws a lot of Night Ranger fans to Night Ranger is, a lot of bands, their albums in the 80s, maybe a lot of filler, their newer stuff not as good. And with Night Ranger, you just don't get that. I mean, they are pretty constant, pretty solid. Even their new stuff has been fantastic. So
Totally
Eddie,
agree.
a little bit younger here. Now, before this, we'll get into like the tribute band and you probably rediscovering or diving in deeper. How aware were you of Night Ranger?
So I guess kind of my first real experience with Night Ranger was I was a big Randy Rhoads fan. And, after he passed, I heard of Brad Gillis filling in for him. And I saw a few videos of him playing, and I was like, damn, how long did this guy have to learn all that? And I heard probably what, like 4 or 5 days, something like that.
Maybe not even that.
That's maybe not even. Yeah, for sure. Man. And he was killing it in those videos that I saw. I was like, dude, that's insane. So eventually, like, I think about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe they were playing a festival at St. Cecilia's.
Yeah, is that the yeah, that was well, it's probably longer than that. It was probably
It was,
2014, 15, 16, somewhere in there.
So I think My wife and I had just started dating, and her parents are big into Night Ranger. Well, like her dad is the drummer in Sentimental Street.
Okay.
So we went to that, and of course, I was just blown away by the musicianship. I thought they were incredible. And of course, I was watching Brad's all freaking night, going ape on the guitar. I love it, dude. He really. It almost feels like he's attacking the guitar, which is awesome. It is awesome.
Very true.
So
But
how
yeah,
did
that's.
so how did so you know, obviously you guys, are both fans now, and you both have your knowledge of Night Ranger. Now, before the tribute band kind of comes up, the idea, do you guys perform in any other bands that, how did your guys' paths first cross each other?
Yeah, so I've played in bands. Like I said, Eddie's about half my age, so I got a little head start on him. And I've played music from classic rock to country to yacht rock to lounge rock to whatever in my past. Had kind of been retired here recently. The first band I was ever in was with Dave, who was our keyboard player in Sentimental Street. So he recruited me into this band because I wasn't really doing anything. And he said, "Man, you got to be playing music again." So I figured, yeah, it's probably time. And he's in another band with the drummer, who is Eddie's father-in-law. So we kind of like got the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or 7 degrees, whatever it is, going on. There's there's a relation over the last 20 years somehow. But that's how I got to know Eddie, just here first of the year, I think. Eddie's when we really started meeting and decided to do this.
So how the how does so you know there's obviously all kinds of 70s, 80s, 90s bands out there that you got to choose from to do a tribute towards. How does that conversation go to where you're talking about doing a tribute and you narrow it down to Night Ranger?
What do you remember about that,
I remember that Dave, the keyboard player, was really pushing it to be Night Ranger, and I just thought it made a lot of sense. I mean, there's not, you don't have much of a competition. There's not a lot of other Night Ranger tribute bands. I think it was that's where I was like, man, that's a great idea. And I was actually just shocked that he came to me to play guitar in it.
So, you have this idea, okay, let's do a Night Ranger tribute from, the keyboard player. And was it, so you have, another, you have, a bass player as well. And, your drummer who you've already mentioned, your father-in-law who's already a Night Ranger fan. Was everybody that, else outside of you guys and your father-in-law, were they Night Ranger fans as well, or did they kind of had to be convinced?
I don't think anybody had to be convinced. Dave, like I said, Dave and Jim, the keyboard player and drummer, they experienced Night Ranger in their heyday. And our bass player, he just loves to play. He don't care what it is, and he's so good at it. He can do any kind of style of music, just change on a whim. I didn't really need to get talked into it. I know we couldn't have done it without Eddie because he's an amazing guitar player. Learning, he's doing both Brad and Jeff's parts because that ain't me. I'm trying. Eddie's teaching me. But no, there wasn't really any kind of like dragging anybody along. Hey, we're gonna do this. No, we don't want to. There may have been, I mean, like I said, I was mostly familiar with their commercial stuff, the big hits from the 80s. So I might have had a little concern on the front end that would there be enough material there to do, a full set or a set and a half or two sets. But once we dove into the catalog, there's so much other good stuff. And it's just like, if you like music, if you like rock music and you're from that time period, if you like harmony, it's just good fun music. And it's nostalgic. It takes you back to that time and feel. So I thought pretty sure it was gonna work. And you came and saw us at our second gig ever. So we're still a little rough around the edges at that point. But we were really just starting to hit our stride, and by this fall we should be cranking. But I think it was a unanimous decision. Yeah, let's do this. Make it work.
So, I mean, obviously, when you're, putting together, okay, we're going to do this. It's going to be a Night Ranger tribute band. You obviously know there's going to be 10, 12 songs you're going to do. And kind of like what you said, where you're worried at the front end, do we, have enough material where we can do a set and a half, two sets? So, obviously, there's going to be 12 songs, let's say that, pretty much are going to be standard. Did you all go through the catalog and start picking out, hey, look, there's this. Look, there's this deep track. Or, what was some of the songs that you guys, deep track wise, found and decided to actually start to do?
I don't know, Eddie. Jump in here, man. Dave is pretty good at being inclusive about that. I think I remember him saying, everybody go back and pick four songs that they like, and so I remember pouring through the catalog. Does that sound about right to you, Eddie? I think we all came up with kind of some of our ideas of what would be good tunes, including some of the Damn Yankee stuff, right?
Yes, I do vaguely remember that.
Well,
I
it's
can't even
like
really remember.
it was over some beers, I'm sure. So,
it definitely
So, like you said, it was the second show that I saw, which was about the middle of May or so, and I didn't have, a set list or anything. I even told Ken, like, don't let them know that, I know anybody in the band, because, like, if you guys aren't good, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to deal with that. Right?
You're a smart man, Josh. Yes.
I just want to be able to leave and not have questions asked about, hey, how was it and stuff like that. So I was like, don't say anything to them until, we can say something to them. But so the first, set, comes out, or, the first, set, and it's like, you guys come out and you open with "This Boy Needs to Rock." And I'm like, all right, you know what I mean? Like, it's not your typical, Night Ranger song. I mean, it's a song that they still use even up to today, every now and then, opening their shows. But it's kind of what you would co consider a deeper track. And I was like, that's cool. I mean, song selection wise, okay, we're doing all right. And sound wise, it was fine. And the next song, "When You Close Your Eyes." So I'm like, all right, here we go. I'm still, and then, but then you guys got to, like, "Secret of My Success" was your third song, and all the songs had sounded great. I was worried about the solos, and Eddie was there, doing them. I won't say perfect, because even Night Ranger doesn't do them perfect. You know what I mean? Like, so if you're sitting there and you go to any tribute band, they're playing live. It's not going to be note for note. But, like, the parts where I know, like, I've seen other artists cover, let's say, Night Ranger, and I go, like, oh yeah, they didn't do that right. There was none of that with you, Eddie. You know what I mean? Like, you were hitting everything that needed to be hit. There was nothing where it made me go, ooh, like that wasn't good. You know what I mean? None of that. None of that at all. I was impressed because I don't know what song it was originally. Maybe Eddie, but when you close your eyes, Boy Needs to Rock, they really don't have, it's just one member doing a solo. Where let's say, like, Don't Tell Me You Love Me, it's Brad and then Jeff on the second part. And it was those songs where they share solos, or they, one does one and one does, just to watch you going from one style, right? To bam, suddenly going into another style and not skipping a beat, not missing any notes. Usually what I find if someone does that is they do one of the styles really great, and then the other style kind of, I won't say suffers, but you can see they're into one style more than to the other. And I didn't see that at all with you, Eddie. So yay.
He's our secret weapon, Josh.
But yeah, so then you guys, you did, Four in the Morning, and then I'm hit again with a deep track of Seven Wishes. And again, I didn't know how long this show was going to be. I just, maybe an hour, I don't know. And it just kept going and going. And then you guys did Come Again from Damn Yankees. And I think that was Dave that sang that, right?
Dave sings Come Again, yeah.
And I was telling someone, and it's meant as a compliment, that Dave had sung one of the other Night Ranger songs, and it was fine. But I remember telling someone, I go, I didn't know his name, but I go, the keyboard player sings Tommy Shaw better than he does the Night Ranger stuff, which,
Oh.
you know what I mean? Like, because, Come Again, vocally, that's,
It ain't no, yeah.
and, I know he had sung another Night Ranger song previous, and it was fine. I was okay. But then when he did, the Come Again Tommy Shaw vocal, I was like, holy shit. Because when you guys started playing that, I'm like, ah, all right, here we go. This could be the first bump in the road. And,
Oh, we had some bumps, Josh. Don't get we had some
well,
bumps,
listen,
brother.
there's nothing about having, some bumps or missing cues and stuff. I mean, fuck, I just saw Night Ranger in wherever it was in Indiana, probably right around the same time with you guys. And I'm sure a lot of people didn't catch it, but oh yeah, Brad came in fucking early on this one part, and so I mean that shit still happens.
Happens.
But yeah, so like, you had Come Again. I'm like, all right, man, fucking that guy fucking nailed that. And then all of a sudden you guys start playing Restless Kind. And that's when I'm like, okay, this is legit. You know what I mean? Like I've seen enough to where this, this is good.
That's when we won you over, Restless Kind. Okay,
Well,
I'll write that
what I'm saying is,
down.
Come Again, right? Vocals handled great. Some of the song selection, Seven Wishes, Boy Needs to Rock. You guys handling the vocals great. Eddie handling the guitars great. And then, like I said, when we started getting into Restless, kind of like, oh shit, we're hitting Man of Motion here. This is good stuff. And you did Eddie's Coming Out Tonight. Fuck, I'm trying to think what else. And you closed your first set with Rockin' America. And I was just like, what? I think you guys played an Ozzy song, maybe, I don't know. And there you've had, what was great was you guys also told like stories, right? Like, hey, Jack Blades, Damn Yankees, and here's Damn Yankees song. And then you guys talked about Brad playing with Ozzy, and you did an Ozzy song, I don't know. And then you closed that first set with Sentimental Street and Rockin' America. Now that's when I told, during that break, Ken, let's go talk to the guys, and we can tell them, that hey, I kind of know the guys, and here's some guitar picks and shit like that, and you guys are doing a great. Great
I was
job.
so confused when you came up, man. I'm like, who is this guy? I don't know this guy. You got oh, here's a guitar pick. Okay, I was caught off guard. Let me just say
Well,
that.
that's what I like. I don't like people having their bearings around me. I like to be the one in control.
I
Well, plus you guys had a lot going on. You know, I didn't know if I was going to stay till like the end of the second set, just with my schedule and stuff. So it's kind of like, hey, this is the opportunity if I'm going to get with you guys real quick. And I tried to bring down picks for like each of your,
Yeah, that was so cool.
guy that you're representing and stuff. And that's when I went up, I think, talking to you and Eddie, and you let me go up on stage and take a picture of the set list. I'm like, holy shit, there's another 15 songs. And I mean, it was a good 3 hours of Night Ranger bliss. And you guys came out with the second set. You did Coming of Age, Rumors in the Air, which again, that song, people probably think other stuff, but like that song's a tricky song to do. I mean, you got, your keyboard player is doing a lot of the work in that. And then, it's got a lot of different guitar, tones and stuff, with the that opening and then, the Brad's guitar solo. And then I was pleasantly surprised when you guys pulled out Runaway from Damn Yankees. Like, I'd never seen Damn Yankees before. I don't even know if they did, during their first tours. I'd have to go back and look. But it wasn't really like a concert staple, even if they did. But I'd never seen Damn Yankees cover that. So it's like, all right, here we go. And what's was unique, Sister Christian, right at, towards the beginning. And you guys did Let It Run. Another deep track, Bad Reputation from Damn Yankees. You did some Aussie stuff. And then you kind of closed it with, Sing Me Away High Enough and Don't Tell Me You Love Me. So that, to me, is like, listen, if you're a Night Ranger fan and you guys are playing out, one, the song selection is great. And two, the musicianship is fantastic. Is
Appreciate
there,
that.
you're playing though like a majority of the songs from the 80s, Damn Yankees, early 90s. Is it hard to capture like that original sound that they did? Or is to where, okay, technology has changed so much, or is it technology is so great now that, you can, it's easier to, let's say, replicate what they were doing then. How easy is it to capture that original sound from the band? Or hard?
Well, the first thing I did is I went out and bought a Mezza Boogie because and that helped.
Yeah.
I will say that it definitely helped. So the sound and Ed, again, Eddie, you jump in here, man. The sound is important, and I feel like we have because you can be. You can go over the edge and sound too much like a metal band doing 80s rock. You know, I personally didn't want that, and I don't feel like Eddie wanted that. We wanted to try to capture more of that 80s 80s rock, and I'll even say it hair band rock sound. And I feel like we got right up to that edge where we were getting that really aggressive. We're getting that really aggressive tone. I especially love Eddie's tone. It's just monster. It's so in your face. Again, without going over the edge and sounding like a metal band, because that's really, you can get that metal sound pretty easy, that real heavy metal. We didn't want that. But what's, man, what's very challenging, I think even more challenging, you've already alluded to it, Josh, is the style, the playing style. Especially Brad and Jeff's style and the that's very hard, but Eddie's doing all that lifting. He can talk about that, not me.
So, Eddie, how challenging is it to, you got, I mean, they're very distinctive, but one thing they do have is, like, to me, with them, and I think that's what make Night Ranger really stand out, is it's always about the melody. You know, I mean, they're, you know, Brad, like you said,
Yes.
attacks the guitar. Jeff can shred just with any of them, but it's always about the melody first. And if that and then anything else gets incorporated with it, then that's just kind of like a bonus. You know, how challenging is it though to, you know, you're just not learning, you know, one style, you're learning both. How challenging is it to learn those guitar solos by Brad and Jeff?
It's very difficult, especially, you know, like you said, going back and forth, like Don't Tell Me You Love Me, going from Brad's to Jeff's. And man, still rocking America. I will share this. I was first asked, you know, you want to do this tribute? And I was like, I don't really know. I'll give Still Rockin' America a shot. I sat here in this chair probably a total of 15 hours trying to get, you know, going from Brad's ending part to Jeff's and making sure I don't miss a beat and I don't slow down or speed up too much. And then Jeff's freaking
Eight finger.
tapping part, man. I still have to go back almost every couple of days and make sure I refresh on just that alone, because if I don't, it'll be long gone. And I'll have to be back in this chair for about 10 hours doing it all over again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I think that's again, I mean, there's so much that you can't, I don't want to say fake, but you can't just glide on if you're doing Night Ranger. I mean,
You're absolutely right.
you know what I mean? Because, you know, you got the guitars, you have, you know, Kelly keeps such a tight pocket, you have Fitz with those keys. Like I said, a lot of times the riffs you have in your head aren't Brad and Jeff, they're Fitz, you know,
Yeah.
doing shit on the, you know, so it's like, and then vocally, you know, it's not the easiest stuff to cover vocally, especially if you're doing Kelly Key, or you guys are doing, you know, like I said, Damn Yankees with Tommy Shaw. So it's like each one of you have got to be on your game. So out there in the, the rock community, local rock community, let's say in Cincinnati, is money wise, is it m more profitable today to be a tribute band versus a, let's say, original band, or even just a band that does various, you know, top 40 or whatever, you know, you want to call it. I mean, don't have to be top 40, but let's just say it does various cover songs. You know, is ha having a tribute band like an AC/DC, a Night Ranger, you know, something really specific, is that better financially than the others, or is it the other way around and you guys just don't give a shit? And you know, it's not a, I mean, obviously we know it's not about the money, but you know, just how is the business world, you know, on that local rock community for tribute bands?
I would say, since I've, like I said, I got about a little head start on the experience side. It's definitely the landscape has definitely shifted towards the tribute bands. And I mean, we're about to find out. We'll see for real or not here soon, because like I said, we've barely started to scratch the surface. But the it's because, you know, the cover bands that do, like you said, all the top 40 stuff, they're a dime a dozen. Everybody's doing that kind of thing. So as you get a little more specialized, you see the price? prices going up that you can charge, and the demand is there. And it's been really interesting to see that shift back to the people doing the tributes. And it makes sense if you think of it, since these bands are, let's face it, they're getting a little bit older now, right? And they're not out there as much as they could be, or even at all. So, you see that demand increasing for those kind of bands.
I mean,
So yeah, the tribute bands in Cincinnati, I would say are definitely getting a premium for the services they're providing now.
I mean, we're lucky with Night Ranger. Night Ranger actually is one of the few bands that's out there, that you're kind of still competing with. You know what I mean? Like, if you're doing AC/DC or any of these other, even let's say you're doing something like the Cars or something. The Cars don't tour no more. They're, basically they are done. I mean, for all intents and purposes. So yeah, you do have that, you do have that aspect where there is a lot less of these bands out there, and the tribute bands are kind of taking their place. So Eddie, when you're doing, I mean, we already talked about Rock in America, right? And the challenges of that. What's a couple other songs that you really had a big challenge with?
Which one was it? Eddie's coming out tonight. That one still gets me every once in a while.
Yeah.
I actually, I know I never really played the Brad's part building up to the runs on that. I never really played that right. So this time that we have, I'm really focusing on trying to play things more precise towards the record. That one definitely will be a pain. Goodbye. The outro solo for that. It gets hard to hear since it kind of fades out, but then I just kind of go on my own little thing and try to keep in
Now,
key.
so when you're doing stuff like that, do you ever go to like any live footage? Because obviously people are filming stuff with their cell phones, and you can almost see, I mean, you could probably go see what they played last night already on YouTube. I mean, do you ever incorporate, because things have changed so much. And it's with any band. They play for so long, they have strayed sometimes really far away from the original. And so I know, like, when you're talking about that extended part, yeah, I mean, Brad goes ape shit, it does on the extended part. Even like, 4 in the morning, they do, like, now they do this little breakdown, Jack does, and maybe 20 seconds, but it's like that's not ever in the original song. Do you ever, do you stick strictly to the studio stuff, or do you ever incorporate any of the live stuff?
I will definitely use the live stuff. I think one really cool trick that you can do on YouTube is you can slow it down even. So I've started to watch it, try to find a good camera angle, see where they're at, kind of close to the like where they are in the on the fretboard, slow it down and see what they're doing. I can't remember which song I did that for. I think it was I think that was for Eddie. I think that was for those runs. I was trying to figure out both parts there.
And it's crazy how technology is. You talk about going on YouTube and slowing stuff down. It's like, I remember, God, it was still only 20 years ago. Like, buying, because when I played some, but I'd buy, there was, I think, a device where you could either plug it into a CD player, or maybe it had a CD player built in, but you could record like a minute section on the device and then slow it down to listen.
Gotcha.
I can't, yeah. And
I
then
remember this.
back in the 80s, I don't know if they did it in the United States. I would assume they did, but I have a Japanese record And it was a series. They did multiple bands. I know they did Van Halen. I had the Night Ranger one, to where they would have a performer on there playing the solo, and then they would have it, and you would just put it on the record player and play it straight through. You didn't have to mess with the speeds, but they would already have it slowed down, and so it would be the solo at a real slow speed. It's like you used to have to buy records like that, and now you just go on YouTube and just hit slow and figure it out. So, wrapping this up, out of your set list that you do, what's one or two of each of your favorite songs to play live?
So for me, This Boy Needs to Rock, definitely.
Now you
My
sing
favorite. As
that.
soon as I heard that song, I said, "Oh yeah, that song rocks, and we're going to open with it."
And you sing that, right? You sing that one.
And then here, just recently, in the last month, we picked up Penny, and that's, man, that is so fun to play. I think that's definitely number one, or one and 1A. I love both of those songs. Penny
And
is a lot of fun to play, though.
Night Ranger will still sometimes incorporate that into their set. Not often, but I do know last year in Tiffin, they did bring that one out. So Boy Needs to Rock, Penny. That's cool to hear you guys already working on stuff I haven't heard you play. Eddie, what song on that set list, when you see it coming up, you get excited for?
I think my favorite Night Ranger song in general is Seven Wishes. So I love when that one, I love playing that song. It's so fun.
And such a
Especially,
melodic solo by
yep.
Jeff.
Oh, yes, I love that. I actually, that's another song that I used YouTube to figure out what he was doing there. And it was funny because it was, what was it, Cincinnati Ghetto Fest or something? I think it
Oh,
was that
yeah.
playing in the video, isn't it? I think it
Yeah.
was. And then I guess the other one would be piggyback off Jason here a little bit, but another one we started doing recently is Why Does Love Have to Change?
Oh,
Yeah.
fantastic. And
Man, I love the guitar on that. I love playing that song. That's awesome.
such a kind of like unique song. It almost hovers on that rock ballad, and then all of a sudden, you're getting slapped in the face, and just Jeff and Brad just doing that solo. And it's kind of got that, like, is it Halloween or something? One of them horror movies that kind of always reminds me of when they do this. They're both, doing it together, but real high guitar notes together. But so yeah, there you go. Another good selection. Now, if you talk to anybody from the Fans of Motion page, you will get 100 other suggestions of deep tracks that you should do. And they all have valid reasons.
I didn't keep my eyes open to that too. I've noticed a little bit.
I think if you guys, I mean, again, you could name any song, and I could probably say, oh yeah, this person from the page loves that track. But I think, an album from that classic era that a lot of your hardcore fans really enjoy is Man in Motion. And really, anything you guys do off of that record, that's why I said Restless Kind was very cool and unique, because, I mean, even Big Life, but, that album, people love it, but Man in Motion is definitely an album that gets a lot of the attention. Yeah, so when you guys did Restless Kind, Halfway to the Sun, that's what you need to do, Jason, when you want to put Eddie to work, is say, hey, we're going to do Halfway to the Sun. He'll be in that fucking basement for 3 weeks. So one final question: how did you guys pick Sentimental Street for the band name.
That was an executive decision by the drummer and the keyboard player. There was no democracy in action there. They said, here's what the band's gonna be called.
All right.
That's true.
Well, I mean, at least you named it after a hit.
And it does, even with the word sentimental in there, there's sentimental value into what we're doing, right? So it fits in that regard. That makes sense.
I mean, I guess when you think about it, you could probably use a lot of song titles. I mean, they all kind of somewhere sometimes fit. I guess Eddie, when you break off and do your own Night Ranger tribute band, you can use Eddie's Coming Out Tonight. So you guys, look at that. I got my
That's
sentimental
beautiful, man. Thank you.
and you
Thank
guys gave me some swag. I got some, look at that. And
There you go. You got it all.
so you guys do, I know you guys, I saw somewhere that, you guys are taking a few months off, and you guys are kicking everything back up in the fall. When does your guys's, and you, and I, we probably should have said this earlier in the podcast, but you guys are basically based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And that's where most of your shows are, correct? Once this thing gets going and people start realizing how much they love Night Ranger, you guys will be worldwide. But for now, it's Cincinnati. When do you guys start kicking off your dates again?
First of October, and into November, still kind of a combination of some bar gigs, and then we got the Styx show that you brought up, which is going to be at a pretty big club that has been having a regular rotation of tribute bands. They've kind of been known now for bringing in all the different kind of tribute bands there. So I'm looking forward to that show. And then with the goal of next year, kind of hitting the bigger venue circuit, hopefully. There's a lot of outdoor shows here over the summertime in Cincinnati that, again, seem to all be gravitating towards tribute bands now. So I think that's kind of what's in our future there. Do we take the act on the road? Now that's yet to be determined, but never say never.
I know, looking at when me and Eddie were talking, you got like some dates in throughout October there in Cincinnati at different venues. And then the show that we were talking about with the Styx tribute is, I think it's November 7th at the Blue Note, which
Yeah,
anybody
that's it.
from that area knows, Blue Note always has, national acts coming in and performance. So where's the best place? There's people out there listening and they're like, you know what? I want to follow Sentimental Street. I want to go see this Night Ranger tribute band. Where's the best place to follow you guys and get all their information?
It would be on
Definitely going to be
Facebook.
on Facebook, right, Ed?
Yep, we have a group, Sentimental Street group on there. We also have I think a fan page. I'm pretty sure. That gets a little tricky with Facebook sometimes, or differentiating between the group and the page.
Well, I do know if so if you just go to Facebook up in the top, just type in Sentimental Street, you'll get Sentimental Street Night
There you
Ranger
go.
tribute. You can hit
Yep.
join. Is there another one? These are questions you guys are going to have to start figuring out and spit out with with ease, because so let me see what this is. All right, don't go to this Sentimental Street. Pretty sh
No.
yeah, we don't. Yeah,
What
that's a
is that?
father-daughter duo performs all your favorite songs. And look, here is Ken Finley with Night Ranger, and you can see he's wearing his Sentimental Street shirt. So yes, the guys are aware. that you all exist. And I told them, and Ken told them, that you are representing them well. So there you go, Jason, Eddie. Thank you for joining the podcast here. If you are out there in the Cincinnati area, the tri-state area, I guess it is, down Indiana and Kentucky and all that good stuff, go to your Sentimental Street Facebook page, see if they're playing close to you. Go join their page on Facebook while you're at it. If you're not a Fans of Motion member, click in Fans of Motion too. Join that. Make your life really complete. Eddie, Jason, thank you for joining me, and I really hope to see you guys, well, one, at a Night Ranger show soon, and I hope to be able to make it down to Cincinnati to catch you at a Sentimental Street show.
Appreciate it, Josh, man. We appreciate your support. You got a great fan group there. It's been fun, this newfound journey, kind of learning more about Night Ranger and you guys. It's really cool. But we do appreciate your support, man.
Yeah, you
Yes, thank
definitely
you very much, Josh.
definitely got it. You guys take care.
All right.